Be kind to your co-presenter today. Remember, this is about kindness. Do not mock her for her inability to clap.
Okay, yeah, well, that's a private joke between us where we're trying to clap to sync our audio files, but I promise that I will be kind to you, Anna.
Yeah, you've heard that, guys. If she starts taking the mick out of my inability to clap on time, you message me, guys, of support.
I'm not that mean to you.
You're never that mean. They didn't hear you off air.
Well, I am more mean to myself, and I think many of us can probably nod our heads and say, when was the last time you were really kind to yourself? I think I'd kind of struggle to label or list a few of those, but probably easy to say, when was the last time you beat yourself up? You, like, told yourself off. You said, oh, you silly woman, what are you doing? Or silly man. Well, that is the subject that we're going to get into. Brilliant article on the members section of Lifeline Online, why kindness is key to weight loss. That is the pinnacle of this episode, a great resource. But we're also going to have some ideas of some questions, some journal exercises for you. We're going to look into dictionary definitions. We've got all kinds of things to spin your head around about the power of kindness and why kindness is key. I love a bit of alliteration. In the meantime, here are some beautiful ukuleles.
She just looked at me like, Anna, talk. So, kindness. Do you know what? This is the biggest thing I see in groups, the way members speak to themselves. They'll be sat there in the olden days next to someone pouring the love out, being so supportive, so kind. I get to them in image therapy and they are berating themselves, speaking about themselves in such a negative way, holding all this guilt and frustration and shame. And yet they can be so nice to someone else. And I remember when I first met you, the way you used to talk about yourself was like you were an axe murdering, like, prolific burglar, you know.
What?
It was so awful. Yeah, you don't even know the language you would use about yourself, the way you would refer to your, you know, if you weren't as successful as you felt. And it's very interesting how unkind we are to ourselves at such a subconscious level.
Yeah.
And how it can just filter into everyday speak that we have about ourselves.
How it manifests as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Crazy. And how you would never ever be as unkind to your friend, your mum, your dad, your brother, your child as you are to yourself. It's really interesting how until I became a Slimming World consultant, I never realized the tapes that were playing in my head.
Yeah, I mean, this is a subject which it probably comes up quite a bit in image therapy. You know, that is where if you're not a member and you're curious, not only do you pay Slimming World to go and weigh, but you also have a bit of a powwow with a group of people who are with your consultant where you kind of pick apart how was your week and maybe set a plan for what you're going to do next week. And it is interesting, isn't it? Because you can spot that so easily in somebody else. But sometimes, as you say, it's hard to spot it in yourself. I remember there was a moment when I was working in my last job and I just kind of thought, I'd had some feedback that I was being quite negative in the team. And I've always thought of myself as quite a positive, motivational, uplifting, smiley, joyful person. I try and genuinely bring life and energy to people. I want to make people happy, right? That is my little inner puppy inside me. So when I got that feedback, I thought, oof, I wonder how. And it was hard to take. And I just realised that actually, that what was going on inside me was becoming so big and embroiled that it was emanating outside me. So you can keep it packaged in for so long, but before you know it, it starts to seep out of your pores and that negativity kind of comes out. So how about you flip it? I think it's also, to me, the word kindness, it just is a bit nice. I'm like,
fluffy.
Oh, kindness. Oh, isn't that lovely? I'm not the most girly of girls. I mean, Anna's here in a pink bow and a pink top. Like, my mom would absolutely love you. I haven't got no makeup. No, you look beautiful. I have not got any makeup. I haven't had a shower for 2 days.
Nice.
I have no underwear on because I went to weigh in this morning and I don't like to wear underwear when I weigh.
She's actually naked, guys. That's what she's not telling you. Sat behind a Zoom screen. She's just free.
No, I have clothes on. You know, but like I just the word kindness to me. Yeah, pink fluffy is exactly. So I don't, this idea of be kind to yourself, it doesn't resonate with me. I know it's something I should do, but I'm not really sure how to get to grips with it. The other word that I think comes up a lot is about self-compassion. Be compassionate to yourself. And again, I've really struggled with these terms, but it's something I'm learning to find my way through. So I hope that over the course of this conversation, this episode, that maybe we can just show you some different aspects of what does kindness look like? What does self-compassion look like? And little ways that you can bring it in without it feeling like, say, how I did, where I was like, oh God, I gotta be kind to myself.
Is it like almost thinking then, what is kindness not? And trying not to do that?
Well, it's very interesting that you say that, Anna. Because in true Claire Freeman geekery style, I have been and looked up in my dictionary, not one dictionary, but several dictionary, at the definition of kindness and also the really weird word that neither of us can say, which means the opposite of the word, antonym.
Anonyms.
No, it's
anonym?
It's got a T in. No.
Yeah, but is it a silent T?
A-N-T-O-N-Y-M-S.
This is going to be like one of those, what was the fruit we couldn't say or find? This is going to be one of those, isn't it?
Anyway, the opposite of the word kindness. And as soon as I looked at the opposite of the word kindness, I was like, oh yeah, I know how to do that, people. I know what they are. So should I tell you like the dictionary definition? Sometimes I think it's really interesting to do this, to just go back to basics. We did this with the scales, didn't we? We were like, where did the scales first come about? How were they invented? So kindness, right? In the Cambridge English Dictionary, it is the quality of being generous, helpful, caring about other people.
Oh.
Which I thought controversial. In others, it says being friendly, generous and considerate. Doesn't say about other people. Another one said gentle, caring and helpful. And then so the opposite words for kindness, here's ones that I think that you'll probably know: hindrance, hurdle, obstacles, interference, impediment, hostility, cold-heartedness, inhumane, pitilessness, cruel. You know, and then other words that relate to kindness. We're talking about attentive, patient, thoughtful, warm, merciful. And so I kind of, with those definitions, like opposite sides, I came up with a few questions and I thought maybe I kind of can have like these pause moments in my day and say, right, stop. Am I like, are the words that I'm using or the way that I'm behaving, is that helpful to me? Am I being gentle with myself right now? Am I being considerate towards myself? Am I being generous to myself? And using that, I mean, I think actually are the words that I'm using or the way that I'm behaving, like let's say you step on the scales and you get a gain, you're kind of deciding, you're kind of putting your shoes back on. You're like, do I stay to group? Do I not stay to group? Do I even bother? Do I even go and ask that person, my friends, how they are? Or do I just walk straight out the door in the car, sob into my driving wheel and not talk to anybody and delete Facebook and delete the consultant's number and basically hide away forever? And then you kind of think, are the words I'm using in my mind and the behaviours I'm using, are they helpful to me? And you would probably answer, not really, mate.
No, are they hell? So interesting, though, how quick it happens and how that tape, like I said before, just plays. And the word that stood out to me just before was cruel, and how cruel we can be to ourselves. Like, I'll never forget when my dad, I think it was his second leg came off. My dad was a double amputee, for those of you who haven't heard the story. And I was, you know, moaning about the way I looked and all of that. And he was like, Anna, you've got a body. be thankful. I don't have two sodding legs. Do you know what I mean? And actually, the way I was being so cruel to myself, he just was like, that's inhumane to speak to yourself like that. And you don't realize, because by the time the thought's gone through your mind, you're on to the next one. And it's that buildup of that loop of negativity that can kind of spiral, can't it?
Mm.
And kind of start, you know how you were saying before, how it leaked out of you essentially, didn't it? In work, how negative you were feeling and how that came out. You don't realize how then your actions are a response to the way you've thought negatively and cruelly about yourself.
Yeah, you know, like the words like kindness didn't resonate with me, but patient, I think. Mm. I'm aware that I don't really have bucket loads of patience. I demand that everything be done like now. I expect like huge results quickly. I'm not great with patience. So how do I practice patience? I suppose is something I've already been thinking about, but practicing kindness and the different ways that it can kind of come in. I mean, you know, the article that's on the website, which we found, Why Kindness is Key to Weight Loss. You just search on Lifeline Online, and it talks about like self-talk, letting go of that, getting support, making time as well for you, like to enjoy the process of planning your food and forgiving yourself, showing kindness to others, you know, playing a part in your group. Like I've mentioned before about our roles as members, not just on consultants, but to reach out and support. And, you know, I shared a post in my group Facebook where I knew that there were like 30 new members in our group. And I said, hey, I just want to say hello to the new members, and we look forward to seeing you in group. If you're finding it a bit overwhelming at the moment, then don't worry. Like, just keep going there. Here's 5 bits of advice I've got if you're just starting out.
Aww.
And then other people chipped in and they shared their advice too, right? Because we're a community, you know, and that has to, what you give out comes back to you, and you will always be floored, I think, as I have ever been in the last 8 years of being a member of Slimming World, how just a tiny comment that another group member can say, you know, they're not paid to say it, then it's not necessarily a consultant, it could be a throwaway comment as you're leaving group, walking to the car park, that is just so amazing that, you know, it could be so small. Or like even noticing that, like, as you go back to group and you start seeing people, if they have been working hard, then saying, wow, you look amazing, like you've done so well, it could really be, because they know what it's like, they know what it takes to go through a weight loss journey.
And also I think, you know, the thing we know is that the group support is what you're there for, that help, that support, that's what you're paying for. You don't pay to get on the scales, you pay to get that help and support. And it's the sense of other people going through the same thing, and, you know, knowing that Linda is ahead of you in the journey, so actually she can give you some advice, and maybe looking at how they've changed the way they speak to themselves. Because I see the people who are in a journey, and long term the journey is successful, is that they change the way they speak about themselves to themselves, and how they almost look at themselves. You know, in previous episodes when I've said about how different you look and how you couldn't appreciate that because you don't see it from your side, it's the same with how we talk about ourselves. So I really had to make a real kind of concerted effort to catch myself as I was referring to myself in such a negative fashion, was actually like, hold on, Anna, you've lost 4.5 stone. Actually, the courage that takes, the commitment that takes, the perseverance that takes. Yes, your tummy may not be where you want it to be, but actually you've done this. So consciously deciding to catch yourself out and reprogram your thought process is really, really vital to success. And then, you know, I don't know if you know this, Claire, but we've done so much research at Slimming World into how people become successful slimmers, and how, you know, that kindness is really key. That compassion is really key, because it helps you lift that burden of guilt that so many of us have got when we come to start a weight loss journey, or, you know, if we've regained weight. You know, I felt terrible about the fact that I had let myself regain so much weight. I felt so guilty. I felt so vulnerable. But actually, the first place to change that was in the way I viewed myself.
Yeah. You know what? I've actually been looking at a resource which has these kind of exercises. So, like, you know, the idea of like writing a letter to yourself, but like addressing yourself as a third person. I know that kind of seems really weird. Like,
it's not so good.
I read out a letter giving thanks to my body, didn't I? I forget which episode it was. Like, oh, it was around June, wasn't it? Managing your mind during tempting times or something like that.
78, I think.
Well, all right.
I think. I don't know. 78 could be about vegetables, for all I know. It just rings a bell in my head. 78, go and see what it is.
But I did. I wrote a letter to myself, like actually kind of thanking myself. And I think also like just capturing in a journal, like another exercise I did was writing down the thoughts that I had in black and white and putting it on a piece of paper and actually looking at it. And imagine reading those out loud to another group member, a bit like, as you say, could you imagine that? Oh my God.
Someone said to me once, writing down the thoughts and imagining you're reading them to a seven-year-old child, like, how would it make that child feel? Because actually, that's what you're doing to yourself. And you just, like I said before, you don't realise how quick it happens. You know, we're sat recording this on Zoom, and I'm looking at myself, and I've been like, oh my gosh, I've just been thinking about my double chin. I've been thinking about my neck and all of that. And then I just, as we were talking, I was thinking, hold on a second, Anna. You're sat here doing a podcast about berating yourself and don't do it. So I decided to flip it. And I've just looked at myself and thought, oh, Anna, your eyebrows are looking fabulous. Your bags have got smaller. Your chins are shrinking. Otherwise, I'd sit here for the whole recording thinking, oh my God, I don't like this bit. I don't like that bit. So I literally had to physically just stop myself then as we've been doing this and like reframe my mindset. And I've worked so hard on being kind to myself. So it is an ongoing project, being kind and self-compassionate. It really, really is.
Well, one of the best resources that I found, there's a lady in the real world called Dr. Kristin Neff. And I actually found about her work via Brené Brown, who we've also talked about. Brené Brown is someone who is a shame researcher. Dr. Kristin Neff is someone who is a self-compassion researcher. And her website, self-compassion.org, has a ton of different like things. I mean, it talks about like the three elements of self-compassion. So it talks about self-kindness versus self-judgment. It talks about common humanity versus isolation, seeing the things that you're going through as like shared human experience. Again, another reason why we have group, isn't it, really? Mm. That you're not alone. The feelings that you're having are not unique, really, that other people feel these too, I think, helps. It's a very powerful bond. And then also mindfulness versus over-identification. So this idea about having a bit more of a balanced approach, observing these negative thoughts, you know, not suppressing or denying them and not getting caught up with them. And it kind of talks about what self-compassion isn't. You know, the idea that it isn't self-pity. It's not self-indulgence. It's not self-esteem. And it does have this exercise of how would you treat a friend. It actually has a little exercise on their website where it talks about how would you respond to a friend who's feeling really bad or struggling in some way, and actually write down like what phrases would you say, what would you actually do. Maybe you go and buy them some flowers, maybe you buy them a gift, or you'd remember a little comment or something that they said, that they really like a particular, I don't know, type of coffee, or there was a book that they wanted to read for ages, and you'd write that down, and then you'd kind of maybe put next to it like I say, you'd capture the thoughts of, well, what are you saying when you're struggling? Maybe when you've had a gain or you've maintained, or you're, you know, you're at the process of deciding, do I rejoin Slimming World even though I've put back on all the weight that I maybe lost previously? And I think it's really great as one of these things to kind of hit pause. But I found Dr. Kristin Neff, N-E-F-F, I found her work just really great for helping me think about things in a different way. I mean, I've also heard about this phrase of, so people right now are talking about, like, say, our steps challenge, right? We did last month. Maybe people are going back to the gym it's summer, so people might be getting out, I don't know, the bikes to go out for the family, or maybe they're going running, they're training, they're doing couch to 5K now the weather's better. But we don't often talk about how you build your mental fitness.
Never.
Right? And we don't really always think about that as a process, as a journey. Like, imagine if you created your own degree where you graduate in your mental fitness, what would that look like? Like, my mom at the moment has found lockdown quite tough, if we're honest. She's obviously had a lot of things going on with her heart, and recovering from a heart attack. And so we've been working together, like, on her mental health. And a key thing that's really helped her has been meditation. You know, I gave her for Christmas access to the Headspace app, and she's just been doing the kindness pack, and she's listening to the kindness course, and she's listening to several parts of that over and over. You know, so it's how it looks to you. I was kind to myself yesterday in that I did all my work, and I'd only spent 5 hours in the office. So I gave myself like 3 hours off because I'd done what I needed to do. I don't need to stay in the office just because I should do, and I should be start work on this, and I should be doing that. Actually, like, if I was an employer and my employee had done all that they'd asked and they'd done a great job, I'd say, do you know what, mate? Just go home early. You've done all the work. Yeah. You chill out. Why, as a self-employed person, do I struggle to say that to myself? You know?
Oh, I know exactly what you mean, because we think we've got to work all the hours God sends to survive. But it's really hard for some of us to kind of connect the dots with actually what we're going to gain from being kind to ourselves.
Yes.
And there's a great article or little piece in the Be Together With Your Slimming World group book. And it talks about what we know members who are self-compassionate actually kind of get, that they're going to feel less guilty about their setbacks and kind of recover quicker and kind of get straight back on that wagon. If you have a slip, more likely to feel in control. And how nice is it to feel in control? Also, better able to cope with kind of those inevitable bumps that we have. Like, I think so many of us plan for perfection. Perfection is never going to happen in a weight loss journey. More likely to lose weight and keep it off. That's the key, isn't it? Because, you know, if you've kind of lost weight because you felt so guilty and just been horrible to yourself the whole way through, what are you going to do when you kind of eat a bar of chocolate that you hadn't planned? You're not going to stay in control. More likely to feel positive and happier about themselves, are motivated to make long-term positive changes, and are more likely to seek staying to group as well to get that help and support. You know how you said when you get on the scales, are you like going to put your shoes on and bolt out of group and not speak to Sandra and Linda and just like get to your car and cry? Actually, if you're more compassionate, you are likely to take a seat, get some help, get some support. So I think it's really important to program our brains, because we are like small children. If you do this, there is a payoff. If you don't do it, actually, what's the likelihood that you're going to be successful? It's much smaller.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and I think you're totally right. It's not, if you do it, it's not like there's going to be fireworks and medals and trophies. So sometimes, and I think also you're so used to running the tape, as you call it. Like, I know how to be not kind to myself, but I don't know how to be kind to myself, and kind of asking, well, what does kindness look? You know, like, I'm really proud of my mom because she's making steps her way. You know, some people would say, oh, but come on, you know, you should be walking mountains, or you should be, you know, you can go to like pubs now, you can go and see all your friends. Why aren't you doing that? Because for her, she's making something work for her. And I think that's really essential. It's like, so what does kindness mean to you?
It's very personal.
A bit like what we were saying about, okay, so we used to reward ourselves with food. It's funny, isn't it? Because I still feel that kind of, oh yeah, I remember that. Like, when you'd get that one stone award, you'd be like, the first thing you're going to do is reward yourself with I don't know, a fast food or a chippy tea, and you're like, ugh, it's not really how it's meant to be. Like, no. What are the ways that you could reward yourself or celebrate? Like, how else can you be kind to yourself? Like me, letting myself finish work a bit early. Maybe I don't have to work 75,000 hours a week. Maybe actually I can just work 35 and I'll be okay with that because my health is better. And life is for living. And, you know, maybe I'm only going to do 5,000 steps today. I wanted to do 10,000, but actually I'm really tired. I'll just do 5,000 and I'm okay with that.
Yeah. But you know what? How you make that happen? Practice.
Mm.
And it's practicing it constantly, like deciding you're going to do something. Like, Claire, you eat vegetables. You eat fruit. You're vegan now. Like you didn't cook, you didn't eat vegetables. Like you've practiced that to get to that point.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing with this. We've got to practice it. And you've got to start small. And awareness is the first place to be. Because there'll be people listening who are like, oh no, I don't do that. Watch yourself, catch yourself, because you'll see, even if it's like, you know, I get members who feel really bad because they haven't got their 1/3 speed on the plate, or actually, you know, they planned to do SP and they didn't, or whatever it was. Actually, that's fine. When you strip it back, like I always say, have you killed someone? Have you hurt an animal or a child? No. What have you done that's so bad? So catching yourself, being aware, but then practicing what it is for you, because, you know, like you were saying, it's pink and fluffy. That might work for me, who's quite pink and fluffy, but it won't work in a way that will work for you. So finding your own rhythm with it is really key.
Mm. Yeah, I think I'd be really interested to hear from people who are listening to this, to those, and I'd love to hear like a mixture of people too. I'd like to hear from you if you would like to practice kindness and you're new to this journey, and maybe just capture like, where are you at right now? And send us an email, slimandworldpodcast@gmail.com. And then maybe you can tap in with us in a few months' time once you've been practicing, or, you know, when you're a bit further down your journey. I'd also love to hear from people who have already been working on this as part of their ongoing journaling, as part of their image therapy. And also I'd love to hear from consultants too, about how do they get the idea through to their members? What type of tools, what kind of things have worked? Because mostly I'm just selfish and I'm quite curious. But also, I just think this is a subject that more of us need to be conscious of, because in the world, let's say prior to lockdown, we were all so busy. We were running from one thing to another. You know, I look at some of the things that our members have overcome. Some people are caring for their parents, they're caring for their children, maybe even their grandchildren. Then they're dealing with their own thing in a world of constant shifting and changing and anxiety. And you kind of just think, oof, we have to be kinder to ourselves more than ever before now. We cannot go back to that kind of running from one thing to the next to the busy. So if we're going to reshape our world as we kind of come out of this global crisis, however that may be, whenever that may be, how do we want it to look? How will kindness look to us?
And yeah, I think it's knowing you've always got a blank piece of paper with it, and that you can decide, actually, I want to feel about myself a certain way. So to make myself feel like that, I've got to do X, Y, and Z. Like, you know, is it about reframing how you classify success and being kind to yourself about that? Is it reframing how you look at your body when you're naked? Is it about how you kind of talk to yourself if you haven't, you know, eaten the chicken that you had in the fridge that you plan to roast for the last 4 days, or, you know, you didn't make the dal that you plan? It can come in so many different guises. So also remembering, when you're trying to practice, you know, self-compassion and kindness, don't try and be perfect with that, because it's another pressure we add. You know, I meet so many hundreds of members that try to be perfect slimmers. There's no such thing. But also we'll try and adopt that approach in being kind. So I would say, start slow, start steady, start practicing, and say, do you know what? Actually, today, or my focus is, I'm going to be kind about how I feel when I get dressed every morning. I'm going to appreciate the positive things and be kind about that, rather than saying, you know, this is the new me, I'm going to be kind to myself, and that means I've got to do everything, because then you'll be unconscious to yourself because you haven't done it all.
Yeah. A big thing that I think I took away from the last few months was I turned off notifications on my phone.
Oh, yes.
I constantly felt overwhelmed, and I'm not great on social media, if I'm honest. I kind of like to put posts so people know what I'm up to, but then I feel like the pressure that I want to reply to every single person, and then I can't do that. So then I the panic and I don't reply to anyone. And then I look at my emails coming in, whether it be for work or personal, and I felt like I needed to reply to everyone the moment that they did it. And so just by turning off the notifications, I choose when I'm dialed in to that kind of task, and when I'm not, it's not like an alarm constant going, because I would get to the end of the day. And I think the biggest thing for me about what I'm learning about how to be kind to myself is I didn't want to finish the day feeling like I still had all these things to do, but I didn't do this, and I should have tried better at that, and that didn't really work, and oh gosh, I've got that email and that message to reply to. I was finishing my day thinking like that, and that's not a way to finish off your day, because actually I could have done four or five things that day that were absolutely frigging amazing, but I wouldn't be thinking that way. So just by removing those notifications, I think it just meant that for me my end of days are quieter. They allow me to be more reflective and to kind of wind down rather than still be riled up full of adrenaline and shoulds and what ifs. And that for me is a habit change, I suppose.
Yeah, I could totally relate to that.
It's interesting though, but that time of day, I've talked to you before, is a trigger for me in terms of when I eat bad food, right? And so if most of the time, but I think it's linked to because I'm feeling stressed about the day. So you remove the kind of key behavior that's causing the stress, you won't want to reach for the snacks and the things in the evening because you're happy in yourself, you're satisfied, you're being kind to yourself, you're eating a great evening meal. Do you know what I mean? Like when I put those two things together, I was like, oh.
I was just going to say, it's the links. It's realizing, actually, I did this and it made me feel like this. So a big change I made in terms of the triggers was I would pick up my phone when I woke up. I'd flick through social media. I'd open my email. I'd open the news before I'd got out of bed and brushed my teeth or said hello to my husband or seen my child. And actually, that was setting me up for massive anxiety in the morning. And then I'd feel that anxiety and then I'd need sugar to kind of deal with it. So actually saying, I don't look at my phone until I'm dressed, I've done my teeth, I've taken Daisy to nursery, all of that, because you don't realize how those things play in. And actually all that negativity or stress is another way that you're not being kind, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that first hour of your day is
key.
Is so key. Like, it's fundamental. Like I hear the phrase, start your day on purpose. And how it's not always about getting up at 4 a.m. or 5 a.m. It's just being conscious that those first things that you do, like, you know, you hear about people who leave their phones in another room. And actually, like, a big thing that we've done is we always have a pint of water or pint of squash. And that's the first thing that we try and reach for in the morning, not for our mobile phones.
Yeah. Do you know what? When my dad was dying, obviously I was always waiting for the call. So I had my phone under my pillow, like on the loudest, so I could get the call. I remember when he did pass away, the absolute relief, and this sounds awful, that I wasn't waiting for that call and that pressure of the phone. So I did for about 6 months, because I wasn't worried about anything, have the phone out of my bedroom. And it's really interesting how much better I slept because it wasn't there. You know, I wasn't wasting all that time scrolling. So just some really easy things that you could put in place that actually you don't realise will have a knock-on effect again to your weight loss too.
Yeah. Yeah. How does kindness look for you? And it's not just about the food. It's about the habits, about the behaviours. It's really putting pause. Have some fun with this in your journals. Maybe get some coloured pens, coloured pencils. Draw. You don't have to just write words and endless paragraphs. You can just write random words that pop into your head. What are some of the words that we've shared in this podcast that have jumped out at you? Tackling your mind when it comes to losing weight is a huge thing. So if you're new to Slimming World, if you're rejoining, maybe you haven't listened to this podcast from the start. That's totally cool. You're going to hear a lot more about this. Every month, we kind of look at different ways to understand the psychology, I suppose, of what happens when we lose weight, and making sure that we kind of get those habits, that lifestyle that we really want, so that we can maintain it better.
Yeah, you know, when Margaret founded us, you know, 52 years ago, is it?
Maybe three.
Yeah, gosh. It was that kind of getting to the deep psychology and the habit change of the mind that she knew was so vital. And that's what, as consultants, we're trying to make sure you get in your group every single week. So I had a lady join me and she did say I could share this. She said, Anna, I joined, I paid, I got the book, I thought I was fixed. I said, what do you mean? She said, I thought all I had to do was follow the plan. And actually what I hadn't realized is I had to fix my mind before I could follow the plan. So it was almost, you know, that waking up for her that actually this was a much bigger thing. When you want to lose weight, it almost makes you lift the blinds, the blackout blind to what's been going on in your mind that you may not have realized.
Hey, just on that note about like kind of getting feedback from people, I've just dug out from our archive of listeners' messages, because we obviously get quite a few. You can send us, by the way, either DM or tag us on Instagram at Slimming World Podcast. And we read them, but we're not able to always respond. Just please forgive us on that.
Yeah.
But one that jumped out on us, because we've kind of over the last few weeks had a continued theme of talking about pants. And there was a brilliant poem that a lady called Sheila shared with us. She actually shared it with her group, and it's called Put On Your Positive Pants. Let me read this to you, because I think this is a nice little way for us all to kind of wrap this conversation up. Where are my positive pants? I don't know where they've gone. I can't find them anywhere, and there's something I rely upon. By losing my positive pants, I'm feeling lost and all alone, feeling fed up with myself, as my healthy eating I have blown. But wait, I've just realised something. My positive pants are not in the bin. They have been with me all along, and I can find them from within. It's not my positive pants I've lost. I just need to stop all the excuses. Time to stop and contemplate and start making different choices. It's a very long poem. I'm not going to read it all, but
I love that.
A really, really lovely. And just, you know, where do you find the positive pants, you know, from all the inspiration and the fact that actually it's already here within you. You know what makes you happy. You know how to be kind to yourself. So tap into your positive pants. Maybe wear a new pair of pants today. Hey?
Maybe wear some, Claire. Hey?
Yeah, actually, yeah. I know, after I bought all those new pants today. So anyway, I'm off to go on, put a pair of pants on. That's definitely not a way I ever thought this podcast would end.
Imagine these new poor listeners. She does normally wear underwear, guys. I promise. It was mandatory.
How do you know?
Contractual agreement. You made a promise. It's in our contract together. Claire must wear underwear at all times.
You know when you're scraping it close to a new Target or celebration award when you don't wear pants to weigh in? I mean, what difference does a pair of pants honestly have on the scales?
You say that. My bra and knickers that I weigh in weigh half a pound.
No, your bra, I get. It's got metal in and stuff like
not
that.
This but one, not your... look.
Flipping Nora. Right, we're going to wrap this up because it's just gone off the rail. Be kind to yourselves. Enjoy your food, like we always say. And share with us what you're thinking, what you're learning. And ask those questions. Are the words, are the behaviours I'm using at the moment, are they helpful to me? Or to you, more importantly.
Or to me.
Next week is Listener's Questions. Have a great week, whatever you get up to. Speak soon.
Bye now.